Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward, and I'm super excited today. I have a good friend, Tom Marquez, on the line today. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Dave. It's great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Very, very excited. Tom's one of those guys who is kind of behind the scenes in some areas, but is just crushing it in so many different things. He owns a company called Insurgent Publishing, and You and I first met when you guys were looking at trying to crush a Guinness World Record. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that real quick.
Sure. So that was back in March. I want to say we actually conducted or attempted to break the Guinness World Record. And it was, the actual record was for, I think technically it was for like longest uninterrupted live audio broadcast. We were actually doing a live virtual video summit, and we actually hosted it via Blab, which is kind of this like social media / webinar platform type of thing where people can come on live and watch and interact. And we brought on about 65 speakers live 1 hour at a time in a row. So we did it, I think it was 65 hours we did. I can't even quite remember, but I just know it lasted about 3 days, and we did break the record, or at least we submitted the paperwork, and it's still in review. So, but we think we broke it, and there should be no reason that we didn't. So yeah, that was the project.
Tom, that's really cool. Well, the stuff you're working on right now, I know one of the things you've got in the works is the Ultimate Startup Bundle, but you've done a ton of things from joint ventures, product launches, book launches, affiliate marketing, and it's really some of the stuff I want to kind of dive into right now, because a lot of our listeners right now, they've got products and they're starting to get going, but they're really trying to find out how do they bring other partners on, how do they build their business, and you've got some really cool different ways you've done this over the time. So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how you work with partners and how you build your business.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll give a quick background that'll tie into this, I think, to make it explain it a little bit better. But so I started actually in the publishing space, publishing books. So obviously self-publishing, then expanding to publishing other people's books. And then from there, what I noticed the demand was not for a boutique publisher. The reality is a lot of bloggers and podcasters and influencers and stuff like that want to own their own, the rights to their own stuff. They want to have full creative control. So what we started doing was shifting over to just the marketing and promotion and launches of these type of books, which then led to kind of a natural outgrowth of that was going beyond books to like product launches, to courses and membership sites and summits and things like that. So that was kind of the evolution over the last 3 years. We worked with people like John Lee Dumas. We set a Kickstarter record for his. We raised almost $500,000 on Kickstarter for his book. We're working with Neil Patel on his new book, which will hopefully be a New York Times bestseller. And then in the courses space, we've worked with guys like Naveed Moazzez on his Virtual Summit Mastery and Brian Harris on his Get 10,000 Subscribers. So we have a good range of different types of products and digital products and books that we've actually launched. And I guess coming back to it then to explain like how we do what we do, and we can dig in details in any one of these aspects, is a big part of what we do is strategy, timeline development, and then execution of that. And we do, ours is very much outward facing marketing. So it's how do we recruit basically a sales team from scratch? It's almost like probably one of the best ways to describe it. When you think about affiliates, or you think about even in the context of books where we're not necessarily using affiliates, we're still trying to recruit people to share the book or give it to their audience or otherwise promote it, right? And so regardless of whether it's a book launch or a product launch and whether there's affiliates involved or not, what we're trying to do is just get influencers to share whatever it is that we're creating. And so the key to that, I think, number one, is that it lines up with what they teach or whatever their platform is about. So whatever their website or podcast or blog is about, that the content is actually relevant to their audience. So we always look for, number one, is we look at defining what is the product that we're trying to promote or sell. And then what are the themes or themes for a book, and then for a product, same deal, I would say, is what are the themes around this? Like, where is this appropriate? Who would actually benefit from this? That's kind of where we start the planning process. We just kind of go into just very kind of boring list building and list scrubbing, where we're like we're essentially building out hundreds and hundreds of outlets that could potentially be partners or potentially share or promote a book or product. And then we go through the very rigorous and boring process of, you know, individual emails, connecting with people, hopping on calls, and basically coordinating promotion around events. And it's really time consuming, but it can really pay dividends.
You know, Tom, I'm really glad you brought that up. I think one of the things that's frustrating for us as a company and for me personally is I get hit up all the time where people are saying, hey, would you build, you know, would you promote this for us? Would you share this with your list? Would you do this? And I think what you just made mention there, I really want to make sure people understand, is it's got to be something that's congruent with the person who's doing it. You can't just approach everybody and say, hey, sell my stuff, when, first of all, you have no real relationship with them, and what you have to offer them is really going to actually hurt their list more than help it. So I love what you said there, because I know you've just been a master at bringing some huge, huge players in. I mean, even as you were recruiting for the Authority Summit, I mean, some of the names you guys got to even present were large names. I know Russell promoted for you.
Yep.
Mentioned it, or at least was on the call, and others. And I think that's a pretty tough thing to do. If you don't mind kind of expanding a little bit more on when you're looking at that list building, that screen, what types of things are you really looking at that actually make sense for the person?
Totally. So this is a great question. It's like, it's both, it's almost one of those things, I think, when people think about, they're like, that's the secret that I want, is this piece, whatever Tom's going to say next. And I think the reality is it's going to be really boring, not really quite a secret type of secret. And the reality is, number one is it comes down to relationships. You use that word. I don't think I'd actually use that word just yet, but that's really the key when it comes to trying to coordinate any type of collaborative or JV promotion or launch, is the relationships that you've actually already built. And we can dig into kind of that a little bit, but I would just say that's the key, is relationships. So a lot of times where we start is, who are the people that we already know who are doing this stuff, who are in that space we've already connected with, and specifically that we've already kind of maybe helped out in some way, shape, or form. Maybe we've already cross-promoted their stuff. Maybe we've, even just as simple as leaving a review on iTunes or sharing a blog post. And have we built up and have we connected with them in some way, shape, or form? So that's the low-hanging fruit always, is once we understand what we're promoting, is looking at the relationships we already have. And so if I'm working with somebody on a launch, that's usually the first place we start, is, okay, what I want you to do is write out the list of everybody that you know that you feel relatively tight with or friends with or at least acquaintances. And we'll kind of look at each of those relationships and say, where do they stand? And then we'll ask, well, basically I look at like kind of three criteria. One, what is the relevance of this outlet? Two, what is the potential for them that we estimate, that we guess? That's totally a guess. It's totally a gut kind of, you know, best guess. What is the potential chance that they will market or promote or share something like this? And that's based on like historical data, basically, of have they shared other things like this before? Do they do affiliate marketing? Some people just don't. And that doesn't mean that they won't share what you're trying to share. You just have to approach it differently. And then the third thing is like reach. What is that platform? You know, are we going to be able to get in front of our audience? So relevance, reach, and then again, potential to actually promote. And so we do the hard analysis of looking at each of these outlets and saying, okay, this is worthwhile for us to approach, or hey, this one, actually the relevance is pretty low, even though the reach is really high. It just probably doesn't even make sense to email them or to ping them or to hop on a call. So we really, the key is, I think, always relevance. Everybody always looks at like, oh, it would be really cool to get like, I don't know, like Tim Ferriss or something like that to like share or promote my stuff. But the reality is like, he's only going to be relevant for certain types of products or services, not to mention the chances of actually getting that to happen is probably slim to none, right? I don't know. I don't know him personally. I don't have that relationship, right? But even if I did, I'd be very cognizant and careful about approaching somebody if it's not the right fit. So one is, do we have the relationship? And then looking at those three kind of criteria. And then the second thing is, if we don't have a relationship, as we do the list building, we put those into another category. And these are the cold outreach we do for these type of things. And the cool part is, if you do it right, you're not just saying, hey, can you promote my stuff? And it hopefully shouldn't come off that way. And I'm sure sometimes in the past, because we've done thousands and thousands of like emails and connections and stuff like that over the past couple of years, that some people would probably take it as that, which is unfortunate. But that's just kind of, you expect that that's going to happen every now and then. But the reality is that most of the time, people are actually happy that you reached out, because we put in the time to actually like look at a platform and say, is this relevant? We look at it and personalize the email and messages that we send out. And we can talk about how we do that on kind of a large scale too, to like actually personalize what we do. But we've taken the time to analyze what they're doing, to look at it, to make the creative leap, or to use our creative brain power to say, your platform or your podcast, your blog is about X, our product is about Y, but here's where they cross over and here's why it would be a good fit for you. And presenting it that way, number one, means that you don't burn any, hopefully don't burn any bridges, and it's easy yes or no, like either yes, I want more information, or no, I'm not interested. But then the most important thing about this is that if you do it right, it opens up opportunities, even if they say no, that this could be somebody that might be a great fit for something else in the future. And so it is really comes back down to relationship building. So like the core of my business in a lot of ways is if I can continue to build those relationships and make the right connections and get people not just to promote things, but also help promote their stuff, cross promote, make, get them connected with other people, that everybody kind of wins. It's a rising tide type of thing. Like it's not a zero sum game when it comes to this kind of stuff, but that you can truly make it a win-win-win for like everybody involved. Me as maybe like an affiliate or launch person, the client that we work with for his or her product or book, and then the person who might be an influencer to make it win for him and or her and their audience, right? So that's what we're always looking for, and it's tough. It takes time. It takes awareness too of like, you know, is this somebody I know? Is it a warm lead? Is it somebody we already know well? Is it kind of more of a cold lead? And then of course looking at those three criteria.
Oh, Tom, I think that's actually awesome because I know when we first started. Again, I didn't know you personally. I'd heard different things about you and things, but your first approach to us was, you know, would you guys promote this, you know, authority summit? And I said, you know what? We just don't promote anything at all, which has kind of been our standard line is we just don't. But again, it was more than just that for you. It was more about just building the relationship. And so from that, we decided, you know what? There's a couple things we could end up doing. And so we ended up doing a unique product or offering for the Authority Summit from ClickFunnels, which obviously was a huge thing for us. You guys decided to use, you know, ClickFunnels on some of the actual marketing and pages and things. And then from that, you and I have talked about a couple of other different products, projects. You've referred me to someone else who we've looked at doing some different things with. And so you're always out there providing value. And here we are at this point, you know, doing a podcast. And this podcast at the end, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about their ultimate startup bundle and kind of the stuff they're doing on that. And again, if people want it, they can get that as well. So you're all about long-term relationships, which I think is really super important, Tom, because so often everyone's in it for just a quick buck. And because of that, they just burn bridges like crazy.
Yeah, and it's scary. And it's one of those things I'm always cognizant of. And it's tough because we have actually so many people in the last week, I think we've spoken to between 5 and 10 people who were like, interested in hiring us for a launch. And it puts me in a really tough position because a lot of what we do is relationship driven, number one. It's long term. And then, of course, from a client or from an agency type perspective, which is kind of like what we are, is basically an agency, I guess. You know, I can only handle so many of these projects at a time. So they have to be really the right fit. And it's one of those things I feel like it's tough. And it's one of those things I'm always weighing is this the right fit? Is this something that I feel confident we can win with? That like me promoting it, we benefit from promoting it, from being the person behind it, that the person we're helping out, they benefit because we're able to get them the right connections, but then also manage it the right way and make sure that, you know, we're able to, you know, 10x their investment in us. So there's a lot of like questions even from like an agency perspective on that because so much of it is a relationships game. And so not kind of, unlike maybe like conventional PR, which I feel like it, when somebody says the word PR, I think kind of spammy blasts and stuff like that. So I don't really consider what we do PR at all, but really truly like collaborative relationship type building. And so yeah, that's a cornerstone of it. And again, it's one of those things I'm always cognizant of. I always try to be super careful about how we approach people to make sure that it's never high pressure, that it's always clear what the benefit is to them. And then also that there's always an out, that there's never going to be any kind of hard pressure, that they have to be a part of it. And that only if it feels right for them, for their audience. And I think, again, kind of coming back to, and I said this, I think earlier, but if you approach things that way, you do end up actually building relationships. Even people who are kind of those cold leads I told you about, like we'll do that. And anytime we do a launch, I mean, I'll end up with like 20 or 30 new people that I didn't really know. And I'll be able to get to know them over the course of a launch. And then what I always do, and this is probably something, you know, people can incorporate from a relationship building standpoint, is post-launch, I always try to connect with them and hop on a call or something like that and talk through like whether it was good for them, if they liked it, anything we can improve. But then also what's really cool is then I open it up and say, okay, what are you guys working on right now? Are there any people that I can connect you with? like with the Authority Super Summit as an example, we had 100 amazing people on the summit, really amazing entrepreneurs and business owners and stuff like that. And now that we have those relationships, I'm very happy to like connect people to other people, like even within the summit itself. And so that's though I'm always looking for those kind of opportunities because that builds that kind of social capital. I think that pays dividends down the road.
Oh, that pays huge dividends because you are the very first one who's actually come back to me and, you know, said, you know, thanks so much for this. How can I help you? And said, you know, Dave, hey, we've got these 100 people we've promoted, we've worked with, we've got great relationships with them now. Hey, if there's something that I can do to help introduce you to those guys or anything like that. And it wasn't a sales call at all. It was just a genuine friend basically following up with me and saying, hey, Dave, I got this thing going. You know, how can I help you out? Awesome, awesome idea. If you don't mind, I'd love if we could kind of jump into the whole personalization piece because that is one of your strongest suits, at least from my perspective as I was watching you and I see everything that you're doing. You really do a great job of personalizing things. And in the whole promotion, affiliate, JV game, so many people don't. So if you don't mind just kind of expanding on that, I'd love to hear kind of what you do.
Yeah, totally. So I guess there's a few ways to approach it, and I'll take it from kind of the baseline of how we actually do outreach, which is probably the most important or the thing people, I would assume, probably are most interested in, especially from when it comes to like cold outreach. So again, taking all the same stuff that I said about like just being cognizant of what is it, what's the product or what's the service you're trying to promote, who's a good fit. So doing that list building, then that list scrubbing. So we go through like iterations of this, like a series of these things. So when I talk about list building, it's trying to get like anybody in a niche that might be relevant, bloggers, podcasters, influencers. The list scrubbing is where we go through and we say, okay, what is this blog? We, you know, when we do the list build, we might get like 400 or 500 potential outlets. But then when we do the scrubbing, we're going through each one and we're saying, is this the right fit? Like it takes you, honestly, if you get good at it, it could take you probably like 60 seconds to maybe a few minutes to hop on somebody's website, read through a blog post, or listen to a part of a podcast and know, does this make sense for what we're trying to do? And to kind of have an impression, it's either kind of a yes or no, like, maybe not. And it's kind of gut there. And so that's the scrubbing piece, is just kind of nixing anybody that doesn't feel right from that like real short analysis. And then we kind of go more in depth though. Once we do that, that's scrub, and we had 500, now we're down to like 200 or down to 100. Now let's go through and look at what was the most recent blog or podcast they had that's relevant to what we've done. So we'll go through and we'll read like different blog posts that they've created or different podcasts that they've produced. And we'll look at different subject matter there where there might be crossover. And we'll annotate that in our list as we like kind of build this information. We're almost doing we're doing information gathering on influencers. And so as you could guess, as we do this, the more we do this, the more information we have on tons and tons and tons of influencers, which is really cool and kind of the side benefit of this. The first time you do it, it takes forever. And it's always tough anytime you're doing it cold. And there's always new outlets to look at and people who are doing great things and just getting started. And so we're compiling that information and saying, okay, what can we do then in this case to help this person out? And then that's where we'll do something like we'll share their blog posts on social, or we'll listen to the podcast, write a review, and then we'll share it on social. Or I'll reach out and just the first thing I want to do is see what I can do to lead with value, which is either, again, you know, if you read like Cialdini's Influence, you know, obviously that could be manipulated, but I think if you do it right, there's a reason this works, is that if you lead with generosity, people respond and they feel compelled to be generous back. And that's one thing I notice anytime somebody like does outreach to us, if they're not leading with some kind of thing that they've done for me, I don't really feel compelled to do anything. But if somebody's like, oh, hey, I just left you a review on iTunes or something like that, or I just shared your blog post and then ping me in it on Twitter or something like that, guess what? I've noticed this person before. They've already done something to benefit me. Even if it's the smallest thing, I feel I need to reciprocate, even in a small way. And that's how I want to start every relationship, where there's something we've done, so it's never so that we've given first. So then looking at how to do this on a large scale, we use some tools that I like to use as contextually is like Gold. It's a CRM, and I'm not a big, like, I don't, obviously there's always like, you don't want to focus on the tools without doing like the right kind of stuff we just talked about, like the strategic stuff and approaching the right way. But as far as tools are concerned, I think contextually is one of the best out there. And there might be others that do what I'm going to talk about here and why it's so good, but the really cool feature of contextually as a CRM is, one, of course, you can consolidate all this information that we're talking about. So I can tag I can add tags and I can segment all these different people that we do research on. I can add notes to each of them, to their basically like their profiles that we create. Excuse me. And then we can also, they call them buckets in contextually, but I can put all these people into a bucket. So if I'm working on a new project, I'll create a bucket for, you know, client X or product X, bucket maybe cold, people I don't know. And then we'll maybe create a bucket for warm relationships that we already know. And then maybe we'll even segment that by what type of platform is it? Is it a podcast? Is it a blog? Is it a YouTube channel? Is it something else, some other kind of media publication? And so then we have all this great information on these people. We've segmented them the right way. And then comes the outreach. So the ability to personalize large-scale outreach is why I love Contextually. They have this feature called Scale Mail, which allows me to essentially create email templates and then personalize each one to the people that are being sent out to. There are ways you could probably like automate this more that I am kind of nervous about. We actually we'll manually go through and we'll add this stuff for each person, just because there's probably a way you can use merge tags, and the sky's the limit with merge tags. But you could probably go ahead and merge tag a lot of like personalized stuff, but then it kind of still feels like a merge tag if you aren't careful. So I'm very like, I believe that it's worth the extra few hours it'll take us to personalize these emails. But the fact that I can send out, because I know, as you think about it, I'm segmenting. I know why I want to reach out to these people. I know that they're like cold and I don't really know them yet, but I know that there's going to be, you know, however we've segmented, I can then, instead of saying one-off emails that I'm sending just from Gmail, which would take like a day or two, I can spend maybe 3 hours in Contextually Scale Mail, create one generic template, and then personalize certain elements of it that are the most relevant. Like, hey, I just listened to your recent blog post on this subject. I just shared it, if that's the truth.
Right.
And then I can say, I thought it was relevant. I thought this other thing that I'm working on might be relevant because of these few reasons. And that might be personalized for each outlet. But that's the kind of thing that goes the extra mile, I think, and means that you don't get just immediately deleted, at least most of the time. So our response rate on these things, when we've done thousands and thousands of emails like this, is upwards of like 30%, which I don't know what the industry average is, but I think that's pretty good.
That's huge. No, that's huge, especially considering you don't always know those people, and some of them are kind of cold. So, I mean, that's huge response rate. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and we are another thing too is like, I don't know if this came off the right way, but we don't start with the pitch either, especially if it's cold. But we'll just start with like that first email where it's personalized and it's leading with something generous. And then if they respond and they say thank you, then we might follow up and say, hey, you know, what are you working on? Or hey, you know, what are your goals like over the next few months? Like if it's a podcast, like are you interested in, you know, interviewees? If it's a blog, like, what's like, you know, I don't know. I'll ask questions. That's personalized too. But the nice part is we're able to get the first email out broadly to many people much quicker than we could if we were just writing individual emails. And then I can follow up on an individual basis to ask them more questions that are kind of leading questions. I want to find out more about them. I want to find out what they're working on. I want to find out if there's something actually I could immediately do for them. Because if somebody's like, as a podcaster, is like, oh yeah, I'm always looking for great guests on this topic, then boom, I might actually have a client that's perfect for that, right? But I didn't just pitch them, hey, here's my client, would you interview them? It was the right process to like let them let me know if offering something is appropriate. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, totally does. I think it kind of goes back to the whole idea as far as, you know, dig your well before you're thirsty type of approach. And unfortunately, too many people, you know, I've seen this happen so fast where they're just throwing so much crap on the wall, hoping some of it sticks, that someone's going to promote for them. And you've done a great job of always building that relationship. And as far as, you know, digging your well before you're thirsty, it doesn't have to be years and years in advance. I mean, this, your process literally is what, week, two, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty quick. And you're providing so much value to these people that they're going, yeah, you know what? I appreciate your help. Yeah, at least I'll have the conversation, which is the main thing. All you're trying to do at first is just get that conversation going where you say, hey, let's see what we can do together.
Yep. That's exactly it. And yeah, our process may be like, usually if we're doing like, we kind of break it down by phases of different launches and stuff like that. And we might have our recruiting and outreach phase might be like 2 months just to give us extra time. But a lot of that is just done in the first couple weeks of that first initial email, and then responding, and then following up to see if we can schedule calls to sit down and chat, and then of course following up with anybody who hasn't responded. And that's another interesting thing. Like sometimes if we're doing like more large scale promo, especially with warm leads, I will say this, I am pretty aggressive when it comes to following up. And that's another area where, again, you can either love that or hate it. I love it for the simple reason that I've gotten so many people who have said to me, wow, like after the third or fourth, and usually I'll cap it around like for 3 to 4 emails tops. So like the first email that's just outreach, then I'll have, if somebody doesn't respond, I might have maybe 2 to 3 to drip out and just say, hey, just checking to see if you got this. Hey, no pressure, but just want to see if, you know, a yes or no or something like that. That's if we're doing kind of like this kind of direct pitch type thing. Like for example, like with John Lee Dumas's book, he had, you know, established maybe like 1,000 relationships over the course of all his podcasting. So we talked about what's the appropriate strategy there. And he just wanted to say, hey, let's just go straight to the pitch and say, this is what I'm working on. I'm asking for a request, because he basically said, hey, anybody who's been on the podcast, that's what I said is, I don't want anything from you right now. But like then it was, okay, let's go straight to this. So in that case, I would never rush to this ever. But if there are already relationships that are established or something like that, then we basically said, okay, here's what John's working on. He's just asking for your help. If you can share it in any way, shape, or form. And what we did is we just put it on, again, in some other cool tools, is like Follow-Up CC, is the ability to kind of craft auto follow-up emails that drip out over the course of maybe like 2 weeks, you know, 1, 2, 3, or, you know, some kind of those kind of emails. And we ended up doing that. And what's crazy is you think one email will be enough, but you actually leave so much on the table if you don't remind people. Because a lot of the people you're reaching out to are super busy, so they don't respond to the first thing. And oftentimes they'll just delete it if it's the first thing and they don't see it. But if somebody politely, but that's why I don't like to use the word aggressively, but politely but persistently follows up, they're going to give it, they're going to at least say no, which I'm okay with. Like we always position this stuff so it's an easy no or yes, or you just send me more information if that makes sense. So that's all about how you structure that that email too, is that basically if somebody just can give you the courtesy of saying no thanks or this isn't good, then they can do that. But we had numerous people that after like the third or fourth email, like, hey, thank you so much for following up again. I was on vacation, or thank you so much for following again. This went into my inbox and I wasn't able to find it. And we ended up getting, you know, hundreds of people to promote that we otherwise wouldn't have if we had not done that follow-up sequence.
I think that's fantastic. Well, let's spend just a few minutes. I want to talk more specifically about this whole, the Ultimate Startup Bundle.
Yeah.
Because it ties into exactly what you're talking about and the way you approached us in doing that. So we'd already had some relationship with regard to the Authority Summit, but then you basically came back and said, hey, you know, Dave, we love Russell's book. We'd love to be able to promote it. Do you have it in a digital format? And, you know, unfortunately we don't.
Right.
But that's kind of how it started. And then it went from that to say, well, so tell me, you know, tell me more about what you're doing as far as why do you need the book? And well, it was where you've got this Ultimate Startup Bundle. And so it was a very natural conversation that then led into creating this. So if you don't mind, spend a little bit of time talking about what the Ultimate Startup Bundle is. And Mike, really what I want, so for those of you guys who are listening, I'd love for you guys to funnel hack this, pay attention to it, look at it, buy it. And they've done a great job of doing this in multiple niches. And it's really why I wanted to kind of have Tom on the call today. Yeah. So if you don't mind, first of all, tell us a little bit about what the Ultimate Startup Bundle is, the different types of niches you've done it in, and how this all works.
Yeah, so I'd say this is like one of the most collaborative projects I've worked on, just because it's actually a joint venture type project between me and ultimatebundles.com, run by Ryan Langford. Super smart guy, great guy, really nice, knows his stuff. And he built Ultimate Bundles over the last, I think it's been live for like 2 years, and I think they've done about 130,000 or more sales of different bundles and in different niches. And so conceptually what a bundle is in this case is usually a digital bundle. It's a digital curated list of books and courses on a specific subject. So they've done it on homemaking, they've done it on you know, DIY stuff, and they'd never done anything in the business space. And my, I guess you could say my specialty is in the business and marketing space, and having, again, over time kind of built a lot of these relationships and done a lot of book launches in the business and marketing space, and knowing a lot of writers in that space. And so we talked, and it made sense to team up on this and to like kind of leverage our individual skills on in that regard. So it was totally like from the beginning, it was a collaborative project between our two companies. And then the bundle itself conceptually is this. It's called the Ultimate Startup Bundle. And as you could surmise, it's about how to start a business from scratch and then grow it and scale it. So it's not just for the beginner who just has nothing, but it also goes through every essentially kind of the life cycle of a small business to kind of growth and scale and actually getting like that traction to get to maybe $100,000 or more, whatever that kind of interim goal is for you. Maybe it's in the millions. We actually have a lot of our, and so we've kind of curated this way and we've put it together this way. So it's a clear, there's a clear roadmap from start to growth and to scale. So it's really cool in that regard that I think it'll be really useful for the person just starting out and being able to find a resource that has the trust, like has just the right content they need. There's definitely a lot in there, but we don't just put it in there without like really analyzing and saying, does this make sense? So it's a hyper curated. It's just the best of the best from some of the best writers and business people on the planet. And we packaged it so that somebody can come in there and move through this library, basically this almost business in a box, if you will. And I'll talk a little bit about why that is from start to finish. And so if somebody already is established, they might find more relevance in the latter categories that we have, which is marketing, copywriting, growth and scale. And then also we have like a financial and legal section too, which is something that is always overlooked, I think, by a lot of people who are just getting started, and even some people who have been established for a little bit, which is always kind of scary. Like if you're not doing your financials right or your legal stuff isn't set up right, what do you do? So we've kind of covered all the bases, I think. And so not only do we have books, we have specific courses on specific sections of this as well. And again, that's all included free as well. And then we also included software, which includes ClickFunnels and several other really amazing and what we call kind of staple type software for any type of business that wants to have any kind of component online. So ClickFunnels, obviously, for its sales funnels, for its sales pages, for all the kind of cool stuff you guys can do with it. That's not even scratching the surface. The bundle itself will allow somebody to get started and with the extra software too, and kind of working with you guys and several other software creators to give them months of software for free. So the actual price of the bundle will be $97. We did the math just the other day to find out where we're at. With just the books and courses, we're at over $2,200, over $2,000 in value. And then with the added software, that's close to another 1,000. So you're really looking at about almost $3,000, if not more, in value on this bundle. And we're going to be selling for $97. So I'm pretty pumped about this. I'm excited that we were able to get the people on board we were able to get. I'm excited that we were able to get, you know, ClickFunnels and the other type of software that we have been able to get on board too. And to really give anybody who's either starting from scratch or kind of already established but just wants some extra help or just wants to take advantage of all the software we have in here and all the, you know, several months of free software from all these different companies, that I think it's a no-brainer purchase. It just, so that's kind of the gist of it. I hope that didn't take too long, Dave.
No. And I think what's really cool is, especially for, you know, people who are listening to this, they're thinking, gosh, you know, how do I build affiliates? How do I get joint venture partners? How do I, maybe for some people, you know, how do I even get a product? And yeah. I thought the idea and the concept behind it was just brilliant, where here it is, again, it's none of your own product. It's not your content or anything else. You literally are just bundling other people's content and products together. And then by doing that, you also have that ability to then go ahead and create affiliate partners, JV partners very, very quickly. I know when I first met Russell, gosh, years and years and years ago, he ended up doing this as far as the Internet Marketer of the Year, where it was a huge webinar series and everything else where they brought all these people on. And it was really kind of what got him into the game as far as getting to know a whole bunch of people, because he kind of set up this contest, but he created this great product. And it was, again, kind of that whole bundling thing. And so as you presented this to me, I thought, you know, what a great opportunity to help people understand in a, again, fast forward, you know, 10 years since that was originally done, how you can actually do it today when you don't have any of your own stuff. But here you can go ahead and take a look at it. Again, if you want to take a look at a Funnel Hacker, go to funnelhackerradio.com/bundle. There will be a link there. It'll take you directly to it. Take a look at it. Go through it. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for people to really learn and see how to create affiliates, how to create joint venture partners, how to put together a bundle, and how to really get something going right out the gate super, super fast. So again, Tom, I thought it was really, really a cool idea.
Yeah, and we did some really – I think we're doing some really cool stuff with it, like – and I don't think I've really seen this done before, but we're doing like pre-roll videos for every contributor who wants to contribute one. And what's really cool about that is we're able to track it based on when they share. So they have something totally personalized for their audience. So that when you land on that page, it's say, you know, for example, like it would be Russell on there saying, hey guys, check out the Ultimate Startup Bundle. And then we go into the kind of the rest of the video kind of thing. So he has like this short clip at the beginning, hypothetically. So like depending on where people are coming in from, we have probably hundreds of affiliates at this point, but we specifically do this for the contributors, for the authors and course creators and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get as many as possible to, you know, to do that and actually, you know, follow through on that. But what's crazy is we've seen that conversion rates skyrocket when you do that because it becomes so personalized to the person's list that you're leveraging. So just a kind of a cool trick or hack there for people who are listening to.
Oh, Tom, that's awesome. Well, I know you've got a ton of stuff going on as well as trying to get this thing promoted. If a person needs to get a hold of you, what's the best way of reaching out to you?
Yeah, for sure. So I would just say go to tommorquez.com. That's TOMMORKES.com. Of course, you can just go to the bundle page too, and you should find some contact information there as well. But if you go to tommorquez.com, you'll see all my stuff. If you're listening to this when it's brand new and live, I'm sure I'll have a bunch of stuff on my website all about the bundle itself. So, you know, that's the core place to go, and you can reach out to me. Anybody who signs up to my list and sends me an email, I respond to 100% of them. So definitely reach out. I'm always interested in connecting with great people.
Oh, fantastic. Tom, again, I thank you so much for your time. Anything else you want to share before we wrap things up?
No, Dave, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on Funnel Hacker Radio. I mean, I love this show. I love everything else you're doing at ClickFunnels. And I think anybody that's listening to this is in the right spot, to be honest with you. You guys provide great, great free content. It's ridiculous. And I just appreciate what you guys do. So thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks again, bud. We'll talk soon. Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dreamcar and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.